Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. The Spartans, huge win over the defending national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. Ryan, I know you had a busy weekend. How was Columbus, baby?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I had heard some horror stories about their fans, but my friends and I got treated really well there, even after the game. Definitely going to go back in 2017. I'd recommend making the trip to Columbus to anybody. It was awesome.
Right, and even look at the Michigan State band. There was a member of the band posted something on Reddit about how great their fans are. He even said that they were better than Purdue fans, and I find that a little bit odd because unlike Purdue, Ohio State does have a little bit of room to talk. So I might take you up on that recommendation. You buying the ticket?
I'm broke after going to those Michigan and Ohio State games. I don't got any money.
All right. Well, first things first, before we do talk about that game, it is Tuesday. We got a little bit of a late start on our recap show this week. But big news out of D'Antonio's press conference. Huge news. Brandon Clemens, Damon Knox, and Ed Davis, all three right now as a stand, intend to come back for a six-year reign. What's that mean for the program?
Oh, it's huge. The offensive line loses a lot of guys, potentially Jack Conklin, too. So bringing back Clemens is huge. Then the defensive line, you've got Knox coming back. He's been a rotational guy, but he'll probably start next year. And then obviously, just bringing back Ed Davis, who's probably an NFL-caliber player, is absolutely huge in the linebacker spot. And I mean, they already have a ton of depth at linebacker, but that's a good problem to have if you've got so many guys that can play in that position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've just been head over heels in love with what Reschke's done this season. Walter Camp, Defensive Player of the Week this week for his performance against the Buckeyes. But people forget, Ed Davis, he's supposed to be – I had him pegged as a third or fourth team All-American. You talked about Brandon Clemens. He might be able to fill that void left by Donovan Clark. Donovan Clark is going to graduate after this year. And then Damon Knox, you said you have him as a starter. I don't see it that way because – Malik McDowell will obviously have one of the spots. I think Craig Evans has played out of his mind this year. And then you throw in the fact that, hey, Michigan State, they do have talented recruits coming back. Enoch Smith is still available there. I'm not saying Knox is going to be behind Smith. I think Knox will be the third defensive tackle, though.
Right. That's actually a really good point because Craig Evans was a beast again on Saturday. He's just absolutely blown up. And then, obviously, McDowell, he comes back. He'll probably go pro after his junior year if he keeps up how he's been playing. But, yeah, like I said earlier, that's just a good problem to have if you bring back those guys. This defense next year is going to be really good. It's not going to be as good as 2013's, obviously, but it's going to be a really good defense when you bring back Copeland and you've got Hicks on the other side. And the defensive line should be, I mean, they lose Calhoun and Thomas, but they'll fill guys in there. And you got Cox and Nicholson. The safety spot should be a really good defense next year.
Oh, for sure. Darian Hicks, he's coming back as well. He's played pretty well this year to this point. And look, prior to this season starting, you know how people like to speculate what the future holds and everything like that. People thought around that front seven on defense, and while that still might be the case, this past Saturday provided a little shot, a little silver lining on offense that hey, maybe Mark Antonio doesn't have to be as dependent on the defense as people thought, because Connor Cook, 32-4 as a starter. You're going to Columbus. You're playing the national. You're playing the defending national champions. You're playing to keep your playoff hopes alive. And Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry put in work. Both of them, 8 rushes for 25 yards. Terry was 1-for-4. Probably could have been 2-for-4 if not for a holding call on Kings early in the game. Tyler O'Connor, 7-for-12 with a touchdown. Terry did have one crucial fumble. O'Connor, he played mistake-free football, though. He had some crucial runs to keep the last touchdown drive alive. What were your thoughts on the quarterback play in Columbus?
Well, first of all, once I saw Tyler O'Connor come out to start, I said, basically told the Ohio State fans, congratulations on your win, because I thought at that point there was absolutely no shot for LSU to win the game. But I was absolutely impressed by how they played. Yes, they didn't throw the ball a lot, obviously. They wanted to play conservative with not only inexperienced quarterbacks at the college level, but with the weather and the way that it was. It was raining all the first half, and it was just windy the second. But I was impressed by how O'Connor made plays when he needed to make plays. I think he has solidified himself as definitely the leader in the clubhouse for the starting job next year. He played a lot. He played better than I thought he would. He didn't make the crucial mistake. He played smart, and that's what you need to do in a tough environment like Ohio State. He was just absolutely very impressive.
Well, you go into the Michigan State quarterback room, and there is a sign in there. Spartan quarterbacks are game managers. Tyler O'Connor was the game manager against Ohio State. And he showed as talented across the board as Ohio State was. Prior to the season, everyone said, hey, top to bottom, this is the best team in the Big Ten. Guess what? A game manager. Not a playmaker, a game manager went in and beat the Buckeyes. And I think you're right. I think that he solidified himself as, I don't want to say the number one quarterback, but he solidified himself as getting the first look. Damian Terry, he had some things to brush up. That was really his first start, if you will. I know technically it went to TOC and he got the win, but Terry played quite a bit. That was his first extensive playing time at quarterback as opposed to a Wildcat option. And obviously, LaWorke is going to deserve a look. Messiah DeWeaver, if he impresses enough, he might deserve a look. So I think everybody's still going to get that opportunity, but I think TOC gets the first crack at it.
Yeah, I definitely agreed with you there. He just played. He stuck with the game plan, and if you do that and you've got a defense behind you, you're going to win most of your games.
Well, it helps to have a running game literally right behind you as well. Gerald Holmes, LJ Scott, combined 27 carries, 103 yards. What do you make of their play? Because I thought I didn't see anything that should have implied that Gerald Holmes get a hold near the end of the game in favor of LJ Scott, especially after he bobbled the handoff. And this, just coming a week after a two-fumble performance against Maryland, I didn't see anything to do it. But then, next thing you know, LJ Scott breaks out a 20-yarder when Michigan State's in the shadow of their own goalpost. What do you make of their play? And how does – and have these two solidified themselves as the top two backs in the playing rotation?
Yeah, I was really impressed by how Gerald Holmes played. He's got legs like tree trunks. He just keeps running. He just keeps moving his legs, even when it looks like the play's over. He had multiple runs like that on Saturday. I think he's the top back right now for sure. Scott, obviously, he has to work on hanging on to the ball. But he has the potential to break a big run whenever he has the ball. He's a very, very big-time talent. He hasn't progressed the way that I thought he would, but he has been really – I mean, he's been very good for a true freshman, even with the fumbles. I mean, he's been really good.
I mean, it's not like he's – these three fumbles over for the past couple weeks. I mean, I'm going to include the, bobble of the handoff against Ohio State as a fumble. But even these situations over the past few weeks, it's not like he's had a problem that has lasted throughout the entire season. And you saw it against Ohio State. He did protect the ball well when he was going up the middle. But they were so efficient running the ball. They were just marching kind of up and down the field just by using the ground and pound attack. Ohio State knew that they were going to run the ball. I mean, how do you know what someone's going to do and you can't stop it?
That's definitely, you got to give credit to the offensive line for that. They played the best game they played all year. They were getting a push on Ohio State's defensive line, which was one of the better defensive lines in the country. I was just very impressed. It's pretty obvious that they're gelling now after having players hurt in the first half of the season. But now that they've got everybody back, they're starting to gel together.
Hey, Ryan? Okay, sorry. I think we lost you for a second.
No, no worries, man. I think, like I said earlier, you credit the offensive line for making those holes against an Ohio State defensive line that has been impressive most of the season. This offensive line is clearly gelling into what we thought it would be. After all the injuries that they've been playing together for a couple of weeks now, and I think that you're going to see the best play of the offensive line throughout the rest of the season.
Let's hope so, because they got a tough test this weekend against Penn State's defensive line. Speaking of defense, let's talk about the play of Michigan State. Held a Heisman candidate, Ezekiel Elliott, to 12 carries for 33 yards. Dared Ohio State to beat them through the air. Obviously, you talked about the weather. They didn't really want to throw it. Even when they did, though, I thought Michigan State did a good job. Hicks and Calhoun made a couple nice plays. Harris out in the flat a couple of times. But I think most importantly, and even if it was as Terry Braverman would say, a beautiful day for football, I think that Michigan State needed to go in and just blitz and blitz and blitz and blitz, and that's what they did, and it proved to be pretty effective.
The game plan was perfectly set up by D'Antonio and his defensive staff. A lot of credit needs to go to Harlan Barnett and Mike Tressel for getting everything set for Ohio State. They just
have to give props to Tressel this week.
Absolutely. Not only that, but you need to give credit to Monte Nicholson after we owe him an apology after saying that basically any hope that we had for him this season was over after the Michigan game. He had some big open field tackles in the Ohio State game. He's played great. He's finally seems to be playing up to his potential, which is huge for MSU, especially with R.J. Williamson out. The defensive game plan was great, and I thought the secondary played great, and obviously the defensive line was great as well.
Well, I want to go to what you said about Nicholson, because – well, I think that he's doing a much better job, and he was to show a little bit. You play a porous passing attack like Maryland, and then you play an Ohio State team that refuses to pass, it makes your job a little bit easier. And so he looks good when he's running downhill. I still want to see him in pass coverage. I still want to see him take a receiver's head off over the middle on a
Right, absolutely.
And he earned that other safety job, but I still need to see him do it against a decent passing attack. Who better to do it against than Christian Hackenberg?
That's actually a really good point. But the thing is with Penn State, their offensive line is just absolutely awful. I mean, obviously you're going to talk to Tony about that on Friday, I'd assume. But I think we're
getting a Penn State writer for iSportsWeb, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay, but Penn State's offensive line is just terrible, so we'll see if even they can throw the ball downfield if they have enough time to. But that could be a test for Nicholson as long as Penn State can somehow throw the ball against Penn State's front four.
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to ask you about. Sending the house against Ohio State, Michigan State decided to repeat what they've been successful. Sublime at not very good. They do have a hard time protecting Hackenberg. Hackenberg goes down a lot. You throw in Michigan State's defensive line, and if they blitz like they did against Ohio State, if they send the house like they did, Riley Bull, John Reschke, Chris Fry, Darian Harris, it could spell bad news for Hackenberg. I think you're going to have an opportunity to see Nicholson against the pass, but I don't think that you'll have an opportunity to see him with the deep ball. I think it's going to be a lot of quick outs by Penn State, a lot of shorter routes and things of that nature that's going to help. Ezekiel Elliott said it. The coaches didn't put him in position to win. You've got to test these defensive backs. I mean, me and Ryan have talked about it, but this is the group. You want Colquhoun, you want Hicks at corner, you want Nicholson, and you want Cox at safety. This is the group that Michigan State wants in their defensive backfield. But they still haven't been tested yet. I mean, Elliott can say what he wants. Oh, well, I didn't get the ball enough. You had 33 yards on 12 rushes. If you want the ball, do something to earn it. If you want to stop Cam Newton from dancing, you stop him from getting in the end zone. That's the way it is. If you want the ball, you can try averaging over 3 yards carry. We're not really big on the would've, should've, and could've scenarios here. But those turnovers that Michigan State had, they just came at the wrong time. You look at those turnovers, those were the only thing that resulted in points for Ohio State. You take away the Damian Terry fumble in plus territory, the muff punt, and I think the Spartans run away with this game, even without the best pocket passing quarterback in the country. I think we have Ryan back. Ryan, what do you think?
That's a really good point about, those turnovers, Ohio State's probably not in that game if MSU doesn't make those mistakes, especially with the Kings play. You have a short field, him like 6 yards, a 6 yard drive to score a touchdown on one play. Ohio State really, I mean, even they shouldn't have been in that game. They only gained 132 yards of total offense, which was, I think that's the lowest under an Urban Meyer coach team ever. They shouldn't have been in the game. And another hypothetical to bring up is if Michigan State has Connor Cook, the game probably isn't even close. It's just, the defense played absolutely lights out, and they absolutely, that was like a 2013-esque defensive performance for Michigan State.
Oh, for sure. I thought they played absolutely great. Let's turn our attention to, well, one of the many heroes of this game, Geiger. What does this do for a kid like that, one who is so emotional? What does this do for his confidence? Because he's been efficient over the past couple weeks. He was great as a freshman, and so he had that confidence. He struggled a little bit last year, so he struggled coming into this year, but he's been efficient. He just hit that game winner. What does this do for a kid like that moving forward?
That absolutely is just huge for MSU. As Geiger probably gained his confidence back. You know, he missed that kick and earlier in the game, and then I was kind of worried about what he would do with that game winner, and then I thought he made the first one, the practice kick. I was like, there's no way he's missing the second kick. But, yeah, that's huge for MSU to have him just make a clutch kick like that, and it really bodes well for the future in the kicking game. I thought the special teams overall played lights out, other than the Kings' buff punt. That was the best I've seen the special teams play all year.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's kind of turn our attention, though, to the Big East scenarios. Things, they started to clear themselves up over this past weekend, and if you look at it, there's still a chance that Michigan State doesn't head to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it would obviously take a lot for them not to make it. They'd have to obviously lose to Penn State, which the line right now is at 4 in Vegas, but I'm thinking it really depends on what Connor Cook. I mean, even without Connor Cook, I think Michigan State can beat Penn State. But, yeah, they're going to share the East Championship if they win, no matter what. But they would go to Indianapolis as long as they win on Saturday.
Right, and I mean, I'm right there with you. That line is based on Tyler O'Connor getting the start. You said it. You think that they can win without Cook, but ultimately everybody would like to see number 18 under center in what would be his last game at Spartan Stadium. The college football playoff picture, that is, like the Big Ten, it's starting to clear itself up really quick. The Big Ten, I want to go back just a second. The winner of the, if Michigan State does lose, the winner of the Michigan State-Ohio State goes in. It's just that simple. Michigan State wins, Michigan State versus Iowa. That's the Big Ten picture. Let's talk about the college football playoff one. Based on projections, if the Spartans beat Penn State, who they've kind of danced around the top 25 area for a little while, and if they beat an Iowa team, that I think they need to be undefeated. Iowa needs to be undefeated to help. A loss to Nebraska would hurt Iowa more than it hurt Michigan State. More than that loss to Nebraska hurt Michigan State, I think, just because people aren't buying Iowa's schedule. Michigan State, you can go to Ohio State, and Michigan wins. You can look, all four of their non-conference opponents are going to a bowl game this year. Air Force is dancing along the top 25 right now. And so, you know, Iowa themselves, Ohio State, Michigan, or Michigan State, I think that Iowa lost to Nebraska would be the most painful thing for the Big Ten's playoff spot. But despite a win this weekend, if Michigan State does win, they could still get jumped this weekend. Based upon the results tonight and the results next week, they could still get jumped this weekend, but they'd have an opportunity against Iowa to return the favor. Talk about the playoff picture a little bit, because Iowa nor Penn State's really pushover games are going to get harder from here on out. What do you see as being key for Michigan State other than just winning out? Because winning out, they should be in. Other than just winning out, what do you see as key for Michigan State to make the playoffs?
It would really help MSU. Notre Dame lost this weekend to Stanford. They play at Stanford. I do think Notre Dame is going to lose that game. Notre Dame's best win is, I think, Navy. They haven't really beat anybody that good. Obviously, like you said, they need Iowa to beat Nebraska on Friday. It would also help if Oklahoma State would beat Oklahoma in Stillwater on Saturday. Obviously, winning out, they're probably in. But they could use some help to even get bumped up to, like, the number three or number two which would help them, obviously, in seeding and obviously matchups.
Right. Right now, a lot of the projections have Michigan State as a three seed. They would be going in against Alabama. And so, I mean, right now, I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that. But, you know what, I'll just focus on Penn State first. How's that sound? We got just under 3 minutes left. Ryan, let's get your MVP from this past weekend.
I'm going to go with Michael Geiger just because of the magnitude of that kick. He had been criticized most of the year by Spartan fans, and he has absolutely shut up anybody who has criticized him earlier in the year, including myself, because I was down on him for a while. But he's in almost Jalen Welch Jackson hero war at this point. Absolutely unbelievable that they could win a game with a backup quarterback, two backup quarterbacks, at Ohio Stadium against the defending national champs.
Right. You go back, you listen to what Geiger said about Jalen Watts Jackson. That's why he ran away from the other side of the field, is he didn't want to have a dislocated hip. Watts Jackson suffered against Michigan on his block punt return. But, yeah, to do that with two backup quarterbacks, to do that with a third stringer in at times, I mean, Ohio State won championship last year with that. Michigan State just went and beat the champs like that. So I thought that was kind of a nice little twist of irony, if you will. Me and my MVP, I've got to give it to the big uglies. Jack Conklin, Cody Keeler, Donovan Clark, Brandon Clemens was in there, Brian Allen, Benny McGowan. I think I said Jack Allen. If I didn't, Jack Allen needs to be in there, obviously. They're going against Joey Bosa, Adolphus Washington, Darren Lee, and they manhandled Ohio State's front. Ohio State couldn't push Michigan State's defensive line back. Michigan State pushed Ohio State's defensive line back. They opened up the holes where they needed to be. Crucial runs down the stretch. Michigan State wasn't throwing the ball. Ohio State knew what they were doing. And Michigan State still won that battle. I've got to give it to Michigan State up front. Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, man. Go green.
All right, go white. That does it for us here today. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.